Welcome to IMTV. I'm Alan Keyes. Glad to be coming to you on the Brighteon TV platforms. Glad to always to give a shout out to Mike Adams and the folks at Brighteon for making it possible for folks like myself to have a kind of discussion where we don't have to worry about what can be and has been the reaction of a lot of the instruments out there that pose as forums for people to come and discuss things, but that are actually really interested in trying to get the American people to toe the line of their ideology. And I'm glad today to be revisiting with Robert Owens. Robert, welcome to the show. And I have been following things over the course of the last little while, trying to fathom what is going to be the consequential result of everything that's been going on in this country in the last little while. And I'd like to start out with a question based on the fact that you are out there, you're actually working with folks on the ground. What do you think of, if I ask you, what is going to be the backlash against what Joseph Biden, I think, is coming to represent about the Democrat Party? Because I think that we've reached a crossroads right now, and that this party has shown its true colors to such a degree that I know it's going to have a certain core of support no matter what we do. But I don't think that it now enjoys the kind of favor with independents and people of independent mind, even within the Democrat Party, that's going to allow them to, in fact, one, repeat any kind of victory for, at the presidential level, but I also think they're going to start losing ground because they are essentially seconding the motion of everything that destroys the United States. And if it's put to the country in those terms, I think they basically have to lose pretty much everywhere they stand up that's not entirely controlled at the moment by some Democrat machine. Am I wrong or not?
You're 100% correct, Dr. Keyes. And in fact, one of the exciting things that we're seeing in Michigan right now, and I've been doing a lot of the work that we've been talking about in Michigan with true American patriots, is that the globalist machine has crashed the system so hard, so fast, that Americans are starting to wake up and across the board. And it doesn't matter if they formerly identified as an R or formerly identified as a D, they're starting to realize that this isn't about Republicans and Democrats. This is about Americans versus globalists. And the more that people are starting to realize that it's Americans versus globalists, not Republicans versus Democrats, the more that we're really starting to put steel on target. And that's the exciting aspect about the very backlash that you open the show with, is that the system is crashing so hard, so fast. It's like the enemy is now running naked through the streets. And slowly people are starting to say, whoa, that looks odd.
Well, I think one of the driving forces for this has been their insane insistence on promoting this massive immigration, which he obviously, Biden, has no sense that anybody in this country is opposed to this. They spend so much time on the side of the sort of radical Democrat leftist. They're always talking to each other. And they seem no longer to pay any attention to the other people who live in this country. Because I think that there is a serious revulsion occurring against this absolutely blatant effort to inundate our electorate with folks who come from elsewhere and will be under the thumb of the Democrat Party. Do they think that most people in this country are just plain stupid and don't realize that the consequence of that will be that we are no longer in charge of the country?
Well, to illustrate your point, Dr. Keyes, the we see in Michigan right now, unbelievable union strife between some of the union workers and the international corporations that you know, used to be pro-American corporations. The Ford Foundation, run by the Ford family, used to be a pro-America kind of thing. And more, we're really starting to see that these international corporations are actively working against the United States. And this is the kind of thing that is drawing a lot of folks from the labor crowd to take a new look at pro-American policies that might be outside the Democrat Party. And when we can seize upon these issues, and especially things like Second Amendment, which really hit home with a lot of blue-collar American workers, and the immigration issue, which really starts hitting home with blue-collar workers, we can start having a connect. And we can start talking about real kitchen table issues that move the ball. Because once we understand, again, that this is not a function of Joe Biden as this nice guy that, aw, shucks, is making a couple of mistakes, but rather that Joe Biden is a dedicated enemy agent working specifically against the best interests of the United States to crash the economy in every single way he can, and that the cabal he is working for has got their tentacles in pretty much every federal agency, and right down through the state level as well. Once we get people about that, that's when the counterattack is really effective. And I'm here to tell you, especially in Michigan, where you'll be joining me later this week, Dr. Keyes, at our big leadership convention, it's really starting to come to fruition.
Well, what do you make of that overall? Because y'all are doing a good job, I think, the leadership of the GOP in Michigan, to respond to what I think is this rejection now of what the Democrats have to offer. I wish I could say that I see the same thing happening overall, and especially at the national level, what's going on in Congress and so forth and so on. What do you make of that in terms of how the leadership that we have now, particularly in the House? I can't even talk about the Senate, because I think at the moment McConnell is sort of betwixt and between. He's never, in my opinion, been all that reliable. And until they settle down there, which may not be until after the next election when we see the lay of the land, the most important business is going to be going on in the House to see whether the Republican leadership kind of vindicates their opportunities. What do you think of that? How is that going?
You know, what I would say, first of all, if anybody is considering running for Congress and they're thinking to themselves, I don't want to be a K Street whore. Which hopefully most people would not want to be whores on K Street. But let's assume that they actually are going to fight God, family, country in Congress. The first thing I would say is don't go anywhere near Washington, D.C. until you're elected, because all they will do is try to poison you with money and get their hooks into you and put the strings, you know, onto you. The best thing you can do is stay in your district and understand your constitutional oath and stick to that. And what we're finding around the country is that when we have folks that, you know, they've got a history of going to DC and taking money that comes from the NRCC or any of these organizations, you show me somebody taking money from those guys, I'll show you somebody with a really bad voting record, because the things go hand in hand, and we cannot trust the people in Washington, D.C. We have to fight at the local level. And, you know, again, getting back to Michigan, this is the exciting aspect, because Americans are finally waking up, and in Michigan, probably more so because they've had the, you know, they've been gored by the bull, the globalist bull, as it were. They've started an organized fight back. So they've got really unbelievable, fantastic systems, things like the Good Neighbor Program that's teaching people how to be activists in their neighborhood. Because, you know, if you run up to your neighbor and say, Joe Biden's a communist, you're not going to get very far. You need to first find a way to meet your neighbor where they're at, build a relationship with them, and then you can start to explain why it is that these guys aren't just, you know, nice people making mistakes, that they are, in fact, agents of the enemy.
Well, and, but see, this is part of what I wonder about in terms of how Republicans are doing at exploiting what I think is a kind of golden opportunity. Because Biden is a crook. He and his family are crooked. He has basically been taking bribes from our chief adversary, the Chinese, and he seems to be acting in accordance with their dictates. Because I think that becomes clearer and clearer every day. I can't believe that Americans aren't watching this spectacle and wondering how we got an anti-American president who's working for a foreign power into the presidency of the United States. How did they do this? Well, and what have we done wrong that it is possible for this country now to be living in what amounts to kind of a foreign-dominated little dictator, trying to get us to give up our rulership over the government of our country with all the consequences that that entails? I think that's what this guy represents now, the real aim of the Democrat Party, and he has it in the flesh, and the corruption involved in it is also clear, and the nature of Biden and his willingness to take foreign money in exchange for harming the future of his country.
Yeah, 100%. And I think one of the most stark, I mean, so in your face aspect to it deals with this aspect of Hunter Biden being on the board of directors of billion-dollar multinational energy corporations. I mean, when they're looking at their resume, what they see that he's got, you know, what experience in acquisition of hookers and meth. I mean, that's his experience. So, I mean, come on here.
I think it's so obvious. They were just, I mean, the Biden family is a bribed family. It's a family that has essentially had as its main business selling his ability to do stuff for foreign powers. So yeah. They've been acting essentially as agents of a foreign power, and they consider that to be their livelihood, really.
Yeah, and the fact that they're indicting Trump right now, while Biden is just so openly just embezzling money and committing atrocious crimes. I mean, we live in the height of political hypocrisy right now. But this is our opportunity, Doctor. This is why the people are finally starting to wake up and realize, oh my gosh, what is going on here? Because this kind of nonsense finally is so over the top that it's like smelling salts. It's like, oh, what happened there?
Well, do you think that the Republicans, because I have to say that though some people may or may not think it was a good idea, and I've noticed that a couple of these, they're even worse than rhinos, I think, the people who take this position, but a couple of folks are trying to call McCarthy to task and for because he authorized and they're going ahead with an impeachment effort. Now, it strikes me as very strange that they would be reluctant to go ahead with an impeachment effort where high crimes and misdemeanors have been committed. And yet they played along and didn't really make such a fuss when the Democrats were every day charging Trump with things that had no significance whatsoever. They're just a bunch of garbage. And it's so irking that we don't have a Republican leadership that speaks for what ought to be the best interest of the country, which is to be protected from a president who's obviously betraying his oath.
Well, and I think you're right. And the shame of what's going on with most of the Republicans in Congress right now is that they're not calling things out for what they are, right? They are trying to take a middle ground, or they're in fact on their take. I don't trust Kevin McCarthy for anything, and I don't think anybody of goodwill should. You know, I think this guy is a globalist shill that's pretty much doing whatever they order him to do, whenever they order him to do it. And we've seen such stark evidence of that over and over and over again. Here in you know, in Ohio and in Michigan, especially in northern Ohio near Toledo, the treachery of Kevin McCarthy and sort of the globalist bootlicking masters that he represents with regard to the J.R. Majewski race really just sort of came out where the fraud of smearing him and his military record was revealed to be for what it was. And these are the kinds of things we have to understand, who our friends are and who they are not. And this is why understanding that it's Americans versus globalists and not Republicans versus Democrats is so important. Because if you think somebody's got an R by their name makes you their friend, and you're a God, family, country, patriot, don't count on it.
So do you think that McCarthy is not going to be serious about this effort? Because I actually think that, how can I put this? Because the other thing that's continually preying on my thoughts is that in the course of the last little while since Biden came into office, and also especially, I think, since Trump was defeated, because they can hate Trump all they like. Trump had achievements during his tenure that actually lifted the status of the United States back to the leadership position you would expect, right? It was so obvious. We were going out there making a difference, playing the role that we had played since World War II, being the essential catalyst in the world in a leadership way. You come to Biden, and now what we've got is somebody who's basically flooding our country with illegal immigrants, on the take from every possible imaginable power, backing away from all his real responsibilities, which is why we had 13 people dead when we prematurely, in my opinion, withdrew from Afghanistan for no good reason, because we hadn't achieved anything like the objective that was required to make that sensible. And we take it in the neck. I think we are now positioned, on account of all of that, to become like Turkey was once called, back in the 20th century, the sick man of Europe. And I think we're in danger of taking on the position of being the has-been sick man of the world.
And you know, it's interesting about that, Dr. Keyes. In 1776, a bunch of crazy, cool things happened. Amongst them was, there was a book called Wealth of Nations published, a guy named Adam Smith, as you're well aware. And in this book, he says that there's, you know, three sort of major classes of individuals. You have the wage earners, you've got the property owners, and in these classes, as the prosperity of the nation rises, so too does their do their prospects, to their lifestyle. So you can count on them to be patriotic. But this third class that Adam Smith talks about, the international financial class, he says of this class, their profits are highest in economies that are going fastest to ruin. Never let these people anywhere near legislators, because their profit is in crashing the economy. So a lot like, you know, short sellers today in the market, you know, the treacherous short sellers that will take a big short position in a company and then launch a huge slander campaign, try to smear them and tarnish the stock, crash the company, and then collect huge profits in the go. And so right now what we have is Joe Biden and members of Congress from both the Republicans and the Democrats. We call them globalists, but what they are, they're like short sellers that are crashing the U.S. economy for profit. But it's more than just money, Dr. Keyes. It's more insidious than that. It's about really power and control at the end of it. They've got plenty of money, but it's the power and control that goes with it. And that's the point where we have got to insist on American sovereignty, because that's how we push back and shut them down.
See, but I think part of the problem is that I think you're entirely right in tagging these people as a force that no longer sees themselves as representative of the American people, the American Union, the American future, American prosperity, American goals. I mean, it's all well and good that we've had a good impact in the world, but I think in order to sustain it, we have to stay a healthy country in line with the premises that gave us those opportunities in the first place, because we had worked on building up a country that made good on the promises of those initial commitments that were made in both the Declaration of Independence and in the way the Constitution was written, to really have the self-government of, by, and for the people in a land where everybody was going to have the opportunity to make a positive contribution to that while taking care of themselves, their families, their states, their communities. I think a lot of these people seem now to be pushing us in a direction where most Americans will be the cannon fodder of their ambition instead of the fulfillment of the noble ambitions for all of us that this country has represented throughout most of its existence.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And, you know, going back to this issue that you talked about with illegal immigration, right, the whole goal here is to crash systems intentionally, right? I mean, legal immigration allows you to start crashing municipal systems and state systems because they can't handle the influx without the tax base to grow forward on it. And so, you know, those things are very intentional as well. And so very much it's like a military, what we call a pincer move, where you're going to attack from the bottom and you're going to attack from the top, and you're going to really try to assault the middle class, you know, through.
Well, you know, in a literal sense, I was reminded of this two-pronged attack. Just yesterday, day before, I was reading something that was talking about how we've had a flood of illegal entries on our northern border now. And I'm wondering whether you are aware of that, because that kind of has implications for Michigan.
Yeah, not only that, but Dr. Keyes, you know, one of the exciting things about this conference that you and I will be at the end of the week, which, by the way, MIGOP.org is the website, and you can find the Mackinac Leadership Conference right there, and you can come see Dr. Keyes in person. We'll even have events. Dr. Keyes, I hope you like boats. We got a great big yacht. We're going to take that on the yacht. any event, for folks interested in joining us, MIGOP.org is the website. There's a connection there to the Mackinac Leadership Conference. But, you know, on that basis, Dr. Keyes, you know, the real opportunity that we have here is that Americans are starting to wake up and realize exactly what it is, the nature of the enemy that we are facing. And they are starting to organize in meaningful political forces. So let me give you an example. In Michigan, we have two unbelievable patriots, Phil O'Halloran and Lori Schivo, that are chairing these committees that have gone out and exposed vote fraud like has never been before. They have uncovered and have really pushed the prosecution of one of Biden's favorite NGO entities that was caught with over 800,000 ballots in their house, silencers, bags of prepaid cell phones, bags of gift cards. This is the kind of stuff that we are really starting to put rubber to the road with. And so not only Dr. Keyes will you be there, but we're going to have Carrie Lake will be there as well. In fact, you can cruise the Great Lakes with Carrie Lake this weekend on Mackinac Island. Again, that's MIGOP.org for our website to go to the conference.
Well, I am really looking forward to it, and have been pondering deeply what it's going to be an opportunity to say to folks in the course of my being there, because I think that what you're talking about represents exactly what we're going to have to do if we are to get this country back out of the slough of despond that I think it has been pushed into by the success ignobly gained of the Democratic machine in these recent elections. We'll be back right after this.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency, which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Perhaps a federal judge in Maryland needs a remedial course on our form of government. We have legislative branches which make laws, executive branches that execute laws, and judicial branches that ensure laws are interpreted correctly. Well, somehow, U.S. District Judge Deborah Boardman, nominated by none other than the esteemed Joseph Biden, created a law out of thin air, thus practicing what is known as legislating from the bench. Boardman said parents of multiple religions cannot opt their children out of lessons promoting pronoun usage, drag queens, pride parades, and even leather underwear. And in the same breath, our dearest Judge Boardman had the gall to say that parents do not face any coercion to violate their sacred duty to raise their child in their faith. Looks like Boardman also needs a class on logic, and she's not supposed to legislate from the bench. My advice to parents, do what you can to pull your kids out of the indoctrination camp and find a way to get them a genuine education.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging, works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Keyes. This is Let's Talk America. And I'm pleased to have on the show today, Robert Owen. He's been on before. He's an activist, works with the John Birch Society in Michigan, but is also one of these folks who I think is very dedicated to the business that we now have at hand of making sure that people who by now ought to be both piqued and outraged by a good deal that is going on in consequence of the unfortunate. And I also think incredible claim of victory that was made by Joseph Biden. We're now living with the consequences, obviously, of having somebody elected to the presidency, who I think is not only by this time, because I'm not saying that Joe Biden has always been an unfit character. I don't know that. But I certainly think he is at the moment. And that fitness question is an issue that then, if you take it in the context also of what seems to have been the translation of his high position into an assumption that he gets to make money off of his tenure, so that he was one of those people who actually sold opportunities for influence. And I think that's now pretty well established, don't you, Robert? They're going now through what they're going through with the Justice Department and all of this, because they're trying to doll up what I think has been the self-evident treachery of Hunter Biden and his exploitation of the situation of his father. Really, it seems like as long as he was holding these high offices, this guy has been turning that into the family business, as if we're supposed to accept it now that politicians can make their living off of selling our country out to foreign businesses and foreign powers. It's outrageous. And I think it's something that there, of course, at the moment, since Biden is in the presidency, there's not going to be the kind of reaction there ought to be. But I think that, the Republicans are at least trying to make a stab at getting Americans to pay attention to the fact that we're dealing with something that in some ways is unprecedented in the history of the country, at least in the White House.
Well, you know, in the 1970s, Joe Biden authored an editorial called How I Learned to Love the New World Order. So at least for the last 43 years, he's probably been a very dedicated enemy agent working with globalist forces to destroy the United States. And I think to the extent that he's done anything positive, it's either been a sham or a put on or a mistake or a bungle. And he's certainly capable of those.
Well, you know, I'm one of those people, Robert, who actually tends to think that way in general about the Democrat Party of the last couple of decades. I think that if they've done any good for the country, it's been entirely by accident.
And I think, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, if you're watching a football game and the ball, you know, occasionally goes, the call goes this way and occasionally goes that way, well, you might disagree here and there, but you know, basically it's fair. But what we have seen in politics is that universally, whether it's been the Republicans or the Democrats, mistakes have always been, oops, against the United States' favor. I mean, every single time. It's like going to a football game and the refs throw the flag 26 times on one team and never on the other, no matter how bad they foul. And I think that's the kind of thing that we're seeing, the sort of bias, the sort of overt evidence of enemy action that we've got to take into account. Sun Tzu in The Art of War talks about, he says, you know, if you know yourself and you know your enemy, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. And so these guys can be powerful. They can be, you know, the Klaus Schwabs, and they can be the Bill Gates, but we can still beat them if we understand who the enemy is. But if we don't understand the enemy that we're fighting, Doctor, boy, we're at a big loss.
See, I think one way that has become absolutely evident in, especially in the last few years, is that we can understand the enemy by looking at what they are championing in terms of what they're doing to our society. And I guess it's been much on my mind that there has been a wholesale effort to both undermine, then defame, and finally, I think, in terms of their real functionality as key sources of upbringing for our children, destroy parents and families. It's one of those things that I think about all the time, because it seems to me that it is not going too far to say that a society like ours that depends on individual responsibility, right? Because a government of people who are supposed to be, that's supposed to be of, by, and for the people, therefore depends on the fact that you have individual human beings who are capable of taking responsibility for something other than their own advantage. Because otherwise, the rulership of a government of, by, and for the people is going to be a disaster. So there has to be a sense of civic responsibility. And I think when you systematically attack what is liable to be the source of that sense an individual has, not just of getting their own advantage and taking care of themselves and the ones they love, but a love of country and a serious effort to bear the responsibility of their citizenship to do good for their community, starting right where they live, but extending all the way up to the Congress and the presidency and the whole country. I think that the Democrats have not only abandoned that, they have been systematically seeking to destroy it. It's one of those sure signs that they hate this country now and that they just want to destroy us. What is your sense of that as you are working in Michigan? Because I think it's one of what ought to be the most telling things that when Americans look at this situation, they're saying to themselves, these guys are not us, they are them. These guys are not working for us, they are working to destroy us.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, to your point exactly, Dr. Keyes, in Michigan, the governor, Gretchen Whitmer, she's literally spending, I think, more time at Davos and Switzerland and with the whole European globalist set than she is actually in Michigan. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's hardly a day goes by that you don't see her touting some type of World Economic Forum event that she's going to or sponsoring or those types of things. They actually have World Economic Forum offices all over Michigan. And they've got an enormous communist battery plant that's opening up that's run by a company called Goshen. And it's literally, I mean, these are communist agents sworn to fealty to the Communist Party that are opening a massive battery plant right on the Muskegon River in Michigan. And so many Michiganders are like, whoa, wait a second. This is finally over the top. This is the exciting, you know, again, the exciting part and the opportunity that we have. And one of the key aspects of this leadership conference that we're having on Mackinac Island this weekend, again, at migop.org, is dealing with this very aspect. And we're going to look at all the concepts and aspects of how the assault on America is taking place and what our best efforts are to push back. And we'll have members of the State House there, we'll have members of Congress there, and we'll have major leaders that understand the fight that we're in and how to push back, including, you know, disgusting as it is, Mackinac Island is actually the one of the leading places in the Midwest for human trafficking. So we're coming to put a great big American flag right on that island, and we're going to bring in folks like Jim Caviezel to really shed light to the human trafficking problem and the absolute scourge that is taking place, destroying the country from the inside, because it is totally insidious and straight from hell, doctor. The nature of the war that is being brought upon our young people in the form of fentanyl, in the form of pornography, in the form of human trafficking, in the form of grooming these people to do all kinds of unspeakable things, including you even see parents so deranged that they're willingly taking their children to butchers to mutilate their beautiful children. It is unbelievable what's going on, but finally people are waking up, and we are going to be part of that leadership challenge to really bring the fight to the enemy. That's what's so exciting about Michigan.
Well, one of the things that I guess concerns me most earnestly, and that I think is most necessary to deal with, is the fact that what we're talking about is not just an attack on our stuff in a material sense. It's not something that, you know, weakens us in terms of our material life. I think it's really been calculated to attack the character of the country, because they know that that character has been the bedrock source of what then let the country both deal with some of its problems, but also achieve material prosperity. See, because I think at the end of the day, you're not really going to get a sustained material result if you don't have, especially in a country where you have been encouraging individual responsibility, if you don't see it, if you don't have it, if you're not willing, in fact, to develop it. And I think that's why they hate our families. They hate our families because Americans have been good at raising up their children, at least until the present moment of assault, in the way that they should go. And so you must destroy it. That bedrock contribution that is made by conscientious, responsible individuals has to be pushed aside, battered away, crushed down until they create a society in which children are going to be raised by the state for the sake of the power and ambition of the elitist few who think of themselves, as Soros does, as gods. Am I making sense?
100%, Doctor. And in fact, you know, just from a historical basis, and you look at the gestation of how we've gotten to where we are now, there's a fantastic book called Blacklisted by History, written by a fellow by the name of Medford Evans about the Joseph McCarthy era. One of the things he documents is that Joseph McCarthy had a lead researcher, a guy named Cohen, a lawyer, who is an unbelievable researcher. And one of the things that Cohen brought out and really started, you know, getting people to understand is that the communists began their infiltration with the churches. When you take a look at communist infiltration at the churches and at the various different denominations, that's really where it started. Even before they got to education, they assaulted the churches now. And if you talk to most patriotic pastors now, they will tell you that most seminaries, they will refer to as cemeteries, because they are usually good at only one thing, and that's getting people turned away from Christ and more focused on like emergent church doctrine and that kind of stuff that has very little to do with the actual, you know, our salvation by the blood of Christ and his finished work on the cross. And that's the kind of stuff that we're dealing with. And that is why they attack that moral fiber, that foundation first, because that's what ultimately is going to do us the most damage. It's kind of like if you go back to, like, you know, the Sugar Ray Leonard days of boxing, you know, body punches aren't sexy, as it were. But when you get to the 10th round, if a man can't breathe, he can't fight. And for America, if our families have fallen apart, we can't fight. And it's those same principles, you know, brought back home to roost. And it is destroying us right now.
Well, it is, and quite purposefully, I'm afraid. But I also know, I mean, I have great respect for people who work for an organization there in Michigan, Church Militant. And it's a Catholic a group that puts the greatest possible emphasis, I think, on trying to revive and sustain a commitment to live out in the sphere of our, you know, political and social lives, the requirements of the faith. And I think that that is one of those things that is emblematic of what is essential right now. And yet not always emphasized to the degree needed until some crisis occurs. Because you've got a lot of folks now, and I don't know what your experience is in this, who are outwardly still practicing the faith, right? In various ways, various denominations, so forth, but who are in fact no longer dedicated to its truth, especially when it comes to translating that into the political arena. And that acceptance of the false idea that we can comfortably live in an environment where somehow we have severed the church from our responsibilities as citizens. It's never made sense to me, because after all, this nation began with, as I recall, an appeal to the authority of nature and of nature's God. And the rights that we were always talking about were responsibilities that were the consequence of God's provision for us, right? Making sure that we had a sense of what it was necessary for us to do in order to enjoy the most prosperous result. So in a way, America is grounded in that sense of faith. And if we back off from it, then they're going to fill the void, as I think people are now trying to do, with something that's utterly depraved. Do you see that? Because, you know, there's not a thing that one can take for granted, though, between the commitment to what I just said and the commitment that ought to be there, in my opinion, among people who think of themselves particularly as conservatives when they're dealing with our political sphere. Am I making sense? Because I think some people like to run away from the fact that this country was founded on a certain sense of responsibility resulting from our allegiance to and faith in God.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, like, you know, Big Mac, the special sauce, it might just be ketchup and Thousand Island, but when you put it together, man, they've made $1 billion off that special sauce. Well, likewise, in America, it's not just freedom. Freedom's very important, but it's freedom with moral restraint. And when you mix freedom with moral restraint together, man, that combination, that's what made America.
I would have to say that what you just said, when you mix freedom with moral constraint, you know what you get? You get liberty.
Yes.
That is what the founders meant by liberty. It wasn't just freedom. It was freedom combined with that sense of responsibility that came from acknowledging the mandates of God for our right behavior, so that you have a sense of what are the boundaries and what are the paths that you need to walk. That's beautiful. And I think that's exactly what we need to be restoring in the minds, not just of people who have entirely forgotten it, but I think of some folks who are out there conscientious in their belief in the need to do right, but forgetting that that is actually part of our citizen responsibility. Am I making sense?
No, and I think that's, you know, again, I think that's sort of the exciting part, because the aspect of our country really hitting so hard and so fast rock bottom is that people are starting to wake up and they're starting to look at these core foundational precepts that made our country great to begin with. Mm-hmm. And it's not unlike in the Old Testament, when things are going really bad, you know, the Israelites, they're like, check out this book. Let's look at this thing again. Let's see what it has to say. And all of a sudden there's prosperity again. And I think that's where the hope comes from, because it's easy to be sort of the Debbie Downer, you know, nowadays, and take a look at how miserable and how awful things are. But I think the hopeful construct is that if we can get our fellow countrymen to repent, to turn back towards God, and to really embrace the things that made our country just the absolute most best country to live in all of history and all of civilization, where there's been more prosperity to more people than at any point ever, at any point in recorded civilization. If we want to get back to that, we got to get back to the principles that got us there to begin with.
See, and I think we have to know we're doing it in the face of folks. And I think this is what, in my opinion, George Soros and his buddies represent. Because there are elements, elitist elements, they fancy themselves because of their success to be like God. And they think that we don't realize that that was the mentality of all the ruling classes throughout all of history, practically. And that sense of themselves, which then made it noblesse oblige to take care of these people who can't really take care of themselves so long as they stay in line, right?
Yeah,
that's not America. America disproved the need for that. And I think that's what they hate.
Yeah, and to your point, Dr. Keyes, you know, one of the intellectual lights of the liberal movement was a professor at Georgetown named Carol Quigley. And he wrote a book called Tragedy and Hope. And the tragedy was that, you know, mankind are sort of dumb, stupid animals in general. And the hope is that, well, there's these elite people that will have total control over the world and will lead us in this new world order. And, you know, our hope is in the technocracy that they're going to put together. And we just need to allow them to take over and things will be great. You know, and they've been pushing this for, you know, decades now, really for generations. But the exciting part is people are waking up. They're starting to realize exactly what's going on, what the agenda is, that it is an anti-American agenda. And they realize that these people are from hell. That's the exciting pushback.
Well, do you know, this conversation with you makes me so eager and so grateful that I'm going to be with y'all in the course of the next few days. And I'm very much looking forward to the opportunity to do so. I guess I'll have an opportunity to hold forth a little bit myself, which is always, I think, gratifying. but at the same time to learn a good deal about the ways in which some of these very fine people are going about the business of trying to throw back this assault on the real heart and spirit and soul of this country. It gives me a lot of hope. And I imagine that that's what the gathering is supposed to be about. Yes?
Oh, absolutely. And so, Doctor, just real quick, so your listeners know, this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, this coming weekend on Mackinac Island in Michigan, Dr. Keyes will be one of the keynote speakers at the conference, along with Jim Caviezel, Carrie Lake, and a number of other just absolutely wonderful guests. You'll have an opportunity to not only see Dr. Keyes speak, but there will be lots of opportunities with a number of our speakers. We've got special events like to go on a cruise on a big yacht that we have. And we're just really looking forward to a wonderful, wonderful time. The website on that is migop.org. Again, that's migop.org. There's a link that'll take you to the Mackinac Leadership Conference and to get hotel rooms. And we've got hotel rooms still available to get registrations. That stuff set up. Again, that's migop.org.
Well, I look forward to that. I look forward also to being able to spend some time and further learn from and converse with your wonderful chairwoman there. And I think the spirit of it is already helping to spark not just my interest, but my hope, as I said. And in these days, that's not something one can take for granted. So I really want to express my gratitude to you and all the folks who are organizing it, to the Michigan party there for doing it. And I'm eagerly looking forward to being able to both make a contribution and learn a lot from the folks I'll be meeting with there. God bless you, sir.
Well, Doctor, we're so looking forward to having you there. And on behalf of Chairwoman Christina Caramo, we're really excited. We welcome all your listeners to join us.
Well, I hope that y'all will take account of that, especially if you live in the area, haven't made that decision yet, make it. We'll be right back after this.